Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. This is Wednesday, midweek inspiration. Well, I hope you're ready. I hope you're geared up. I hope you're fired up. Fired up, geared up, jacked up, sideways, waiting for something awesome coming your way. Yes, I said it. I hope you're waiting, expecting. You know, it's your expectations that God is looking to supersede. He's looking to do above, abundantly more than you can ask or even think. So you got to set your expectations high. I mean, really high. Higher than the sky. Why? Because you can. Why not? Why not? Take the limits off. Take off your limits of your mind. Get out of the box. Unbox so that you can move forward. And it's simple. It's simple. I know people have made it seem so difficult, but it is so easy. So easy to move forward. You just got to take a step. Just take one step. Go right ahead. I dare you. Just take one step, one phone call, one email, one text, one letter. Just one step in the right direction. One thought, one word, one deed, one gesture. You never know. That one you take might be the one that will help make your future all that you desire. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let people, please don't let people stop you. Oh my goodness, people would love to stop you. Don't let them. Don't give people the satisfaction. Take that step. Make that step. Make that phone call. The step could be a phone call, a letter, an email, a text, a tweet, you name it. You know, I love to tease my students these days. I said, are you texting, tweeting, twitting? You know, like, twitting? What's twitting, Miss Williams? Okay, tweeting, texting, and talking. It might be your next big step. Well, put it like this. Your big step will come after you make the first step. The first step could be the big one. But for sure, the big step will never be no step. In other words, sitting and waiting, it will never get done. Will never get done. God has not charged anyone to do it for you. So good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. That's my little talk for the morning. Now we're going to turn it over to the hands of Mr. Versy L. Walker. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Mr. Walker.
Yes, yes, good morning there, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited. I'm expecting awesome and great things.
So, the level of expectations. The level of expectations. We're not victim of our circumstances. We're victim of our expectations.
That's it. That's it. Well, I know that you have something exciting and special today because you always do. Every Wednesday, every midweek, you come with something dynamic, something powerful to launch us even further. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Walker. Take it away.
Well, thank you so much, Coach. Always putting pressure on me. Always putting pressure on me. I try each week. It gets difficult sometimes, but I keep trying to, come up with ways to ignite the thinking, to help inspire individuals, especially when I keep receiving inspirations and from the smallest of things, because as I understand it, you know what, you have to look at the detail. You have to look at the minutest aspects of everything in the universe, from each creature to each individual. And everything is a learning experience, but it keeps inspiring me to try to reach higher, go further, and do, you know, some dynamic things while I'm left on this earthly plane. So thank you. I want to say good morning to everybody who's listening. I hope that everyone has had a wonderful week. I know we've had some good weather, and then we've had some changes in the weather very rapidly. So I'm fighting, I think, the allergies. I opened up the window the other day and went for a nice walk. And, man, did I just start sneezing my head off. But, again, it's allergy season. So take care of yourself, people. Enjoy this weather. It's a lot more to come and a lot more great Wednesdays for us to talk and to, provide insight and information to help people maybe think differently, act differently, and receive their heart's desires. I'm always excited to be here. Each Wednesday brings about a renewed sense of value, a renewed understanding of what, you know, my purpose is or what we're actually sent here to do. And so many people look on a regular basis outside of themselves to find their calling, to find their purpose, and sometimes just in the still of the night, in the moment in which you're just at rest, things come to you. Don't dispute them. Don't try to discount them. Just follow them and enjoy the moment, because the message sometimes is clearer than you think. It doesn't have to be written on the wall. It doesn't have to be, you know, a sandblast through your mind. It's just in the still of the moment, everything could come into play. Once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us on this fabulous Wednesday morning. And thanks for tuning in, because there's a lot of other things you can be doing today at this time as opposed to listening to the Coach Lalisa show and me. So, I appreciate that. I really value that. And also, again, thank you, Coach, for allowing me to speak and to present and to be here with you sharing this platform with the listeners and going over my experiences, both positive, sometimes negative. But even in the negative, I learned from that. I learned from the failures. I learned from the mistakes. it's a growth process, and I'm appreciative to be able to still grow in my young days here. I'm not as young as I was last week, Coach, but I'm trying. There is, for the most part, I just want to go into, usually I have an update from what I'm doing in the recent days, weeks, and months to come. Currently, there's no new update, but should something come up, I will certainly post it on my Facebook. I will certainly mention it here on the show. As always, if anyone's interested in finding out more about me and the programs in which I'm partaking in or creating, you can always go to virtuewalker.com and take a look. You can also post or inbox me on Facebook as well. And the website, again, is www.virtuewalker.com. I'm also building two additional websites that actually encompass more of what I'm doing now, the virtuewalker.com, was more relative to a small coaching aspect, but more so the book Success, How I Ended Up Here. There is a second book coming out, so we should have that out in the next 2 months. And I want to make sure that people understand, again, the direction in which I'm going in and why or how I'm trying to give back and help others achieve a certain level of success as well. And the biggest thing is just really helping them to achieve that esteem, that self-esteem, that loving of oneself. And I know we always want to love the world, we want to embrace the world, we want to love others or be loved by others, but when you love yourself, the greatness that would then emanate to the world, that would illuminate, that when they see you, they know they see love, and all greatness will be attracted towards you, is again from that level of loving yourself, that self-esteem, being one with yourself, one with your God, one with your universe. So I just want to help people to clearly see that, what their value is, understanding their worth, and knowing that they are a contributing factor, both good and bad, to whatever circumstances that they're in. But more importantly, that they can change where they're at by changing simply their mind. So many people have escaped by going inward. They've escaped seemingly troublesome obstacles by going inward. They have created this persona, this other individual that when as an example, with Beyonce, she becomes Sasha Fierce. That's her persona. That's that alter ego. That's the person who would, you know, demand that, you know what, no, I was first in line. You just overlooked me. That person that would demand, you know what, hey, you passed me up once again for that job promotion. You know, no, excuse me, I'm not going to allow you to treat me like this. I'm more valuable than what you are perceiving, and I won't settle for that. That's that other person. But sometimes we have to go within to be able to present, you know, on the out, what we really want to say. So even if we have to do that role play or become someone different, be able to develop that, use those strengths, and know when to use them. But allowing you to, again, take your place or your mind at least to another place that would enable you to endure this temporary situation, this temporary circumstances, into times and things, and you can do better. So it's just changing that ideology. It's that paradigm shift that really, really ignites me to see that when a person has an aha moment, when they get what you're talking about, when the mathematician teaches that individual how to do the algebra, to how to formulate, how to come up with that conclusion, and that person says, ah, I get it. That is the most high for me. That's the most awe-inspiring when you can sit back and formulate and you can compound and you can show people exactly what you're saying, the steps that it took to get there, and why fundamentally they should do the same thing. And then to maybe even sit back and have a philosophical discussion on why they thought and believed what they did for so long and how it may have brought minimal success, but you're looking for sustainability in everything that you do. So, again, I do appreciate and value the opportunity to be here and convey to those individuals who may be interested, who may be concerned, who may be looking to take their lives to the next level. People, as you all may recall, for those who were on last week's call or went back to the archives, how I talked about my time there in Chicago with the Self-Employment Expo. And, you know, I went on to discuss my presentation and what I presented there and how I went about it. I mentioned how my presentation was around individuals actually reigniting their thinking from poverty to prosperity and embracing the million-dollar mindset. I further shared it and mentioned that I revealed my new Million Dollar Mind mentoring program at that time, which, by the way, is going along well. I'm getting people to inquire about it. We're having discussions, and we're looking to see how what I do can assist in helping them elevate themselves as well as their business and taking it to the next level. We all need a hand sometimes. We all need a help. And it's harder to be in a certain circumstances or a situation and see your way out of it. It's hard to be in the ocean drowning and see that if you just put your hand forward and then and pull back and follow the second hand in the same manner, you may can swim your way to shore. You may need somebody to tell you, wait a minute, hold on. Gather yourself. Use your faculties. Think about where you're at and what you need to do to survive. But it's oftentimes difficult when you're seeing your circumstances on a daily basis and you're thinking that you don't have enough. You're thinking that you're deserving of greater or better. Then you venture outside of that environment and you see how others are dealing, are coping, are maintaining with far less than what you have. And they seem to find a place of peace. You can perhaps then come back to your community and not be the possibly the problem, but maybe more of the solution. And maybe too busy, maybe because you're too busy gaping through your windows and not going outside and involving yourself in the community, telling, you know, everyone that other people should pick up the trash, people should do X, Y, and Z. Maybe instead of saying it, you could be the catalyst or the one who's exemplifying what should be done. But it's hard to when you're just inside of it, when you're in the mess. So that's why the mentoring and coaching program to me is so ideal. It can help uncover those areas of opportunities that you may be missing because you're too caught up in it. You're too involved in it. And that's why I was glad to have developed this program and now be able to present it to others. And again, I will start posting and sharing more of this with you individuals on Facebook, those are part of my downline or in my database, to make sure that you at least have an opportunity to take advantage of this. Now, also on last week's show, I gave each of you a catchphrase that I believe could help in all situations to help diffuse the negative thinking and perhaps will help to quiet the naysayers. The statement I gave to each of the listeners on last week was simply in situations where people are talking negatively about their circumstances, about others, or about their outcome, their future. I said to simply say to those individuals, just set your mind to what you want your reality to be. This thought of last week's show and that statement stuck with me all week long. I found myself thinking more and more about this statement and the fact that if everyone were actually to make this statement when faced with adversities, I also thought, how if everyone were to truly set their minds to what they wanted their reality to be, how better prepared for prosperity and success would we all be? How better prepared would we be when opportunities came our way? Because we would have already set our minds to receiving those opportunities, those blessings. We wouldn't have to be startled or alarmed when Mr. Wright showed up. We wouldn't have to be overly concerned when the promotion availed itself to us. We wouldn't be shocked when the bank calls you and tells you that new home loan went through because we had already envisioned ourselves mowing our new lawn. We have already envisioned ourselves putting our name plaque on our new desk and our new office. We had already saw ourselves in St. Lucia, in the Bahamas, in Barbados, with our new love interest. So it wouldn't be so alarming if we had already set our minds to it, already had set our level of expectations and brought that and willed those things that we're thinking of wanting so desperately into our world, into our life, and into our affairs. This is what I had to do when I decided to first become self-employed, people. I had to first set my mind to believing that I could become or be self-employed. And from there, I did. I envisioned myself with my business cards, with my product or services, and that I was at the helm. I was the one, the only person you can go to. I was the end-all, be-all. I was the salesperson, the manager, and the marketer. I was it. I envisioned that prior to that happening. Now, as many of you know, my first business that I started 6 years ago was a gourmet popcorn shop called Hot and Poppin', Chicago-style gourmet popcorn. Yes, I sold popcorn, people. I took popcorn from Chicago and brought it to New York and sold as much popcorn as those New Yorkers would buy. Within weeks, I had lines of people ordering, demanding, waiting for that popcorn. I didn't sell it the same way it was sold in Chicago. See, Chicago already had a market. People already had their favorites, the places they did it, and when they bought it. But when I brought it to New York, it was an introduction to this kind of popcorn. It wasn't your state fair popcorn. It wasn't your flea market popcorn. It was gourmet popcorn. I made sure I packaged it as it was gourmet. I made sure I named my product distinctively and took deliberate thought in how I was going to name it, because I understand the association or the compelling aspects or the exotic aspects of having a product that's from a faraway place. You know, DKNY, New York. You know, Gucci, France. Porsche, you know, Italy, what have you. But people want that association. So I made sure I packaged it and presented it in such a way and was able to sell it at a higher premium because of the presentation and the involvement and my love for what I was doing. And before ever opening the doors of that business, I had to see myself through my mind's eye as a business owner. I couldn't keep seeing myself as Versie Walker, the J.P. Morgan employee. I couldn't keep seeing myself as Versie Walker, the young man at 6 years old who may have had a confrontation on the schoolyard in first grade. I had to see myself as somebody different at that moment in time to become what I wanted to be. With my second business, I brought it to a small cellular phone accessory franchise. With this venture, I had to envision myself owning multiple locations from the east to the west coast before ever having a chain of stores. I had to set my mind to what I wanted my reality to be. I had to envision how I would set up each location to resemble my primary location. I had to take on the mindset of the McDonald's and the Walmarts and how convenient for me it would be if I even wasn't at the location but was able to dictate, to communicate, and to inform employees on exactly where the product was located, because it was emulated from my blueprint, from my initial store. So on at my location in New York, if my battery charger was on the right side of the cart or the store, it was on the right side of the store in Oregon, on the right side of the store in Washington. But again, I had to envision this prior to even having those locations. Now here I am today, having created and started my very own publishing company, having to written my first book, and now on the air with you, Coach, encouraging others to follow their dreams as well. Now, Robert Kiyosaki, author of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he talks about this in his book. The mindset, the paradigm shift, the envisioning and how to transition yourself to the next level. He talks about this more so in his book called The Cash Flow Quadrant. He also talks about that in the game that he produced. See, the book was just a catalyst to get people interested in him so that he can sell his game. Now he sells his real estate business and teaches others how to buy, I guess, distressed properties with no money down. But in his book, he talks about how we must shift our minds from employee, which is one quadrant, to self-employed, which is another quadrant in this square that is, you know, divided up into four smaller squares. So that would be the quadrant aspect. And from there, from self-employed to business owner, and people don't realize there is a difference from being self-employed to being a business owner, then the final quadrant shifts you to become an investor. And how he speaks is that if you don't do this mind shift, this paradigm shift, this changing of your philosophies, your core beliefs, if you don't do that, then you won't ever transition yourself towards true financial freedom. Coach, I know that you and I had a detailed conversation on yesterday where we discussed how more individuals need to invest in themselves. We talked about that, and we talk about that quite often here on the show. I want to actually give a scenario of a situation that I heard of recently. There was a recent college graduate that was approached by a slightly older gentleman. The gentleman asked this college graduate, "Son, how much did it cost you per year for your college education?" The guy said, "Well, for a total, it cost me about $100,000, which, you know, roughly, you know, computes to $25,000 a year." Now, this older gentleman was stunned. He felt it was ludicrous. He stated to the gentleman, "Wait a minute, you paid $100,000 a year for a college education, for a sheepskin, for a degree? Wow, that's a lot of money." And the college graduate, I guess, was prepared for that type of response. And he tells the gentleman, "That cost is a lot cheaper than the cost of being ignorant." See, he understood fundamentally that he had to invest in himself. Even if he goes out and starts his first job and he only makes $25,000 a year, that investment in itself doesn't depreciate. It doesn't evaporate. It only can enhance and help him to make better choices, better decisions, and have hopefully better affiliations and associations based on the information that he achieved and received for that college education. I was just at a recent event for my daughter's high school, spoke with one of our friends there, and that mom who was sending her child to college next year, that university charges $55,000 a year towards the education of her child. The administration and the financial aid told her, "You know what, we can work some things out here for you, and you guys will probably just be responsible for $45,000. I don't know of anyone today at this moment, at this time, who has $45,000 tucked away, saved away, or placed for their children's education. That's a huge undertaking. However, we're in a climate that this price and this number is continuously going upward. But what it's doing is continuously providing the generational divide, it's the economic divide. It's separating the haves and the have-nots. It's seeing who's really truly determined to take their life and their things to the next level. So if it's progressively going upward and then our income is constantly going down and we're faced with high gas prices, we're faced with, you know, foreclosures that we've never seen before, you know what, poverty looks a lot closer today than maybe it did 10 years ago. But that young gentleman understood the cost of being ignorant. he understood that if he didn't pay that premium for his college education, perhaps his life could look a lot more bleaker than the landscape of today. So that's why I need people to truly get it, to truly understand. If you continuously look at the cost of an investment, you will never understand the benefits of that investment. The homeowner sees the difference in paying $1,800 rent for a two-bedroom apartment, and they have a three-bedroom home. What benefits are there? Well, the comforts of having your own, being in your own privacy, knowing that your comings and goings aren't disturbed by others, knowing that maybe a good $500, $600, or maybe more of your home can be written off in taxes. You can establish your business outside of your home, and then there's additional tax write-off for using your home as part of your primary business. The benefits surpass, outweighs, oftentimes, the cost. And we have to get our minds to thinking like that, people, so that we can have a better situation, that we could provide better for ourselves and for those who are around us. And this is unfortunate. We don't do it often enough. I think it's because we don't break down the pennies and translate that into dollars, because we know if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. I know for a lot of minorities, we don't like to talk about money. We don't like to talk about percentages because we don't oftentimes understand them. I remember there was a commercial years ago that said you can go from here to Europe for 37 cents a mile. Come on, people, call in and take that vacation you deserve. Well, I did. I called in. I called my travel agent. Hey, I'm ready to go to Europe. How can we do this? You know, what credit card do you need? Tell me, when can I go? After telling me the price and picking myself up off the floor, it amazed me, but it forced me to think differently. That 37 miles times however many miles it takes to get there and back, I think computed to about $3,900. But see, I had never taken it down to the nth degree. When I was a debt collector collecting on student loans for the Department of Education, we would have to compete each year to retain the rights for that paper. That's what they called it, you know, to collect on the Department of Education's debt. And when you bid it, it was five companies that would ultimately win the bid. And the lowest bid was 28 cents on the dollar, and the highest bid, I think, was 31 cents on the dollar. We were coming in second place at one time. It was going to be 29 cents on the dollar. I told my partner, what difference does it make? 29 cents, 31 cents, we're still making money. He quickly explained to me, Versi, consider this. You made enough sales in this particular given month, so X month, and at 29 cents, that computes to $3,700 of commission. But in that same month, if you were getting 31 cents on the dollar, based on those number of sales, that will compute to $5,089. You see the difference? You get the point? And I said, yes, sir, I do. Because those differences, or that difference between 2 cents quantified or multiplied times a larger number, showed me the vast difference. And sometimes our lifestyles are just based on those slight numbers. Making a better presentation, going and doing a better sell, selling one more customer, having one more promotion can make the difference on paper and in reality. And someone can tell you, I don't want to get that supervisor position because they're only paying, you know, $50 more a month, but that computes to $600 more a year. For most people, that could be the difference in living on one side of the track or on the other. That could be the difference of not going on vacation that year or going. It can make the difference between being able to pay for private school for your child to get that better education or going to the local school that you know doesn't provide the essentials that your child needs. We have to be able to break it down. We have to be able to look at it differently, size it up. For those who are able to do that quickly, efficiently, and often, they oftentimes make better financial decisions. They're able to capitalize on opportunities quicker because they see the value. We're putting the same amount of gas in a Jeep Cherokee that we would in a Cadillac Escalade. The gas price is the same. The gas tanks are the same. But the Jeep definitely doesn't ride as good as the Cadillac Escalade. It doesn't provide the amenities and the comforts that, say, the Escalade does. But ultimately, aside from the sticker price, we're paying the same price. But I'm not getting the same benefits. I'm not getting the same type of service. I'm not being provided with the same elements from one car to the next. That's the difference, people. How do you benefit from it? What does it provide for you? What does it offer you to help advance you? So if you have to ride in a car that clunks, clunk, clunks, beeps, 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 and makes noise and bounces all over the place, how are you when you get home in the evening? You're tight, you're taut, you're disturbed, your spirit, you weren't comfortable, you weren't relaxed. But then you're cruising in the back of a limousine where everything is done for you, the ride is comfortable, you can now become more creative. You can come home and embrace your children and think about better ways of spending your time, educating yourself, investing in yourself, and helping to inform others. Now, I know when we were talking yesterday too, Coach, we were discussing how there was a small community. And I have to talk about this. I think one of your Facebook friends, Tamisha, you mentioned about the 10 words that changed someone's life. And she mentioned about, you know, you can win the lottery, but you have to be in it to win it. But she mentioned the lottery and those 10 words that leads up to, you know, today's lottery is X, Y, and Z dollars, and how so many people are looking, investing, and praying for the lottery to relieve them of their financial burden. And who wouldn't? Who would not want to spend $1 to get $10 million? The odds of that happening are probably $10 million, but who wouldn't want at least to try? The chances are astronomical. There's other ways to achieve a greater rate of return. But, again, who wouldn't want to? So I want to mention this. I know when we talked yesterday, we talked about a small community on the south side of Chicago that had a field test, if you will, that was a survey done, and it showed how that one community where the medium or the median wage earner or across the board, the average income was about $21,000. This was the average income of this community. So the level of poverty at that time, the poverty number, the poverty level was at 13,000. So they were just slightly above the poverty level in this area, in this community on the south side of Chicago. But how it was discovered and shown that over $4 million a week was spent in that community on individuals playing the lottery. Over $4 million, people. And they were spending twice that amount or greater on alcoholic beverages in this one small community. Now imagine how that goes across this great continent, this great country of ours. How many people are spending money hoping, wishing, and praying for a better life, a better chance, a better opportunity, and utilizing the aspects of the lottery, but won't spend that same amount on themselves. Not understanding that in this community and those same individuals, they would even spend one-tenth of that amount on investing in their financial future or changing the economic and political landscape of their community, how much better, how greater, how better off they would be. So obviously they don't have money in this community because somebody got it somewhere because they could spend that kind of money on a weekly basis. But if they would invest that in their lawn care, invest it in their children, invest it in better policing their own community, better storefronts, this, that, and the other, they would have the riches. They would have people flocking to that area to spend their money, to buy their wares, to provide additional resources. But see, it had to take a survey to convey that. That's not put on the news every day. They don't talk about those statistical facts often because that would be educating those people. That would be then somebody coming and telling them, you know what, you can do better. You do have the financial resources. You're just implementing and placing in the wrong places. Your investment is not fruitful. It's not bringing you back the rate of return that it deserves and that you deserve. So that's why the lottery continuously reaches astronomical, hopeful, unimaginable numbers in an instant, because people would rather invest in faraway things and people and places and have their odds greatly against them, hoping and praying for that opportunity to be that one person or amongst the few. When they can still be that one person or amongst the few, if they would then circumvent, change, shift their thinking, and set their minds to what they want their reality to be. People, this has got to stop. And the reason being is because we are the most precious commodity, or one of the most precious commodities on the planet. But it's about time that we start acting like it. When we did the Self-Employment Expo, we looked at the number of questionnaires that were filled out, which would then pertain to me contacting individuals to convey to them where I felt our organization or my business could help take them and their life to the next level. We asked questions regarding their time, questions regarding their business, questions regarding their financing, and also sales questions, to kind of get a picture, a snapshot of what this individual is doing and how we can help them do things maybe fundamentally different to bring back the results that they were looking for. Out of those that were questioned in the questionnaire, there was a common theme at the expo. The point in this common theme was, when you ask the question, who would like to increase their sales by 25% to 100%, taking an average based on the number of questionnaires that we received, 50% is basically the basic average for those individuals who provided us that information. Now, here's how the math would look. If your current sales, let's say it's picking a hypothetical number, your current sales are $50,000 a year in your business, and you're looking for an increase of $25,000 per year. For that kind of increase, the million-dollar mind question is, how much would you be willing to invest, say, client, prospect, customer A, customer B, Jane, John Doe, how much are you willing to invest to increase by 50% to go from $50,000 in income, $50,000 in sales, $50,000 or $25,000 increase in surplus to your bottom line? What or how much are you willing to invest? Conservatively speaking, a bank would pay 2% interest to give you $80. Now, that would be a year on a $4,000 investment. Or at a 4% rate of return in a mutual fund, you would get $160 a year from your investment, from your $4,000 investment. Now, if a person were to invest that same $4,000 in a one-time payment towards the highest plan that I have for my Million Dollar Mind Mentoring Program, in that Million Dollar Mind Mentoring Program, and they were to achieve an annual sales increase of $25,000, that individual's rate of return would be a whopping 425%. So I gave you the numbers at 2% from a bank. I also shared with you the numbers of 4% in a mutual fund. But by investing in yourself, getting a mentor, a coach, or someone to help catapult you and change your life within a year, to take your annual sales from $50,000 to $75,000, and for a $4,000 investment, the rate of return on your investment, people, would be a whopping 425%. Now, my question would be to anybody and everybody, what is stopping you? What is stopping you from making that first investment and taking your business and your life to the next level? Why is it that we would spend $80 a month on lottery, knowing the probabilities of receiving any type of rate of return other than just your investment back is problematic? Is the probability so low, it's astronomical, the numbers, you shouldn't even waste your time. But there are programs, there are books, there are literature, there are CDs, there are events, there are places that you can put your investment, your money, and your time that can present you a 425% return. See, the investment, people, is not always your money. The investment could be your time. It could be in your behavioral change. It could be in your mental shift. It could be in changing the way you do things. It could be, like I said, when I repackaged or I sold my popcorn. I didn't sell it as your everyday basic, here you go, run-of-the-mill popcorn. I sold it as it was. I found out my facts. I presented it to the customer. I explained the process of why this popcorn was so delicious and why it was better for you nutritionally, even though we knew it was a comforting snack. That sold more popcorn than anything else I could have done. I didn't need paid advertising. I didn't have to have window ornaments. I didn't have to use those tactics to lure people in. When I presented it in such a way, because I had an invested interest in the success of that business and wanted to convey and share to others why they too should do perhaps the same. And that's what we do here each week, Coach. We have an invested interest in our community and our people doing things fundamentally sound and different to help catapult them to their level of success, whatever that may be. Whatever that vision that they had set their minds to, it's reality. You can grab it. You can have it. I've seen more people become foolish because they said in their mind they were going to act a fool. They said, I'm going to snap off. I'm going to act crazy. If I can't get what I want, I'm going to show them. I'm going to do the fool. And they became just that, foolish. Foolish acting, foolish seeking, foolish behaving. Because they had set their minds to what they wanted their reality to be, people. So It hurts me. It disturbs my soul and my spirit that, you know, again, mom and them, they can come up with the money for maybe things that are not necessarily in their best interest. They can strap up their boots for things that are not necessarily in their best interest. They will jump out of bed to do things that are maybe not in their best interest. But here it is, opportunities that are provided by my services, your services, and others throughout the community that people will not take advantage of and better their own condition and better their own situation. As I just mentioned, people, this has to stop. It has got to stop because you, me, we are one of the most precious commodities. Time and a mind are the worst things to waste. Your mind can change everything about you. It can make you look different to those around you. You may want to get out of a bad situation. You don't have to run. You won't have to be the one that pack up. When folks see that you ain't putting up with what they are putting down, they will start alleviating themselves. They will start making themselves a lot more scarce. Because they know they won't fit in or they don't fit in with the new landscape that you've created. They see a change in you, and if they refuse to change, they know they got to move on because they can't affect you. You're impenetrable. They see that, you know what, she ain't taking it no more. I need to, you know, straighten up and fly right or get out. But you don't have to tell them. You can just change your behavior. Set your mind to what you want the reality to be, and then get up and get busy taking care of that. Get up, get busy producing the life that you want and show others why they should and how they could as well. I wish someone would have conveyed to me and showed me the errors of my ways, the way I was spending my money and my time and how it wasn't producing the results I wanted, and how by placing it in one concentrated area, one focus, how that same financial enrichment that I was praying for, how that same, you know, social status I was looking for, I could have gathered it and received it far sooner in life than maybe what I have today. And I pray that you two who are listening, those who go into the archives, those who decide to, you know, take a chance to see what I'm offering, to see what we're about, to see what we're doing, and the measured steps of getting there, I pray that we can get there together. I'm a visionary. I believe others are visionaries, but we also got to take action. We also got to put things in place. The commercials are all over the air about people who are sitting at home and they decide to make one phone call that changed their life. They went back to school. They got a trade. They looked at their surroundings and said, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to keep getting what I'm getting. I want better for myself. For some, it's another education. For others, it's an external makeover. They believe if I put on longer nails, longer extensions and weaves in my hair, put on higher shoes, put on a miracle girdle or bra, put on cufflinks and a tie, then I'm somebody different. For the vast majority of us people, that doesn't work. Because we are who we are inside. So if we're who we are inside and we haven't changed that, then we're going to be who we are no matter where we are. You can't just take up a Moody, California and also become somebody new and different because your zip code and address changed. No, you have to change. You have to be able to appreciate all that the area and the land will be able to avail to you, to offer you. But you can't go there with the same mindset that, you know, hey, I'm nothing, I ain't going to be nothing, so I'm going to come here and be nothing, or I might as well be here and be warm and nothing. No, you got to look at it as an opportunity to change your nothing into something and become that viable entity that you wish to be, that you wish to be. So the numbers just blew my mind, Coach, yesterday, again, with that community paying, you know, money for lottery. On, again, liquor beverages or alcoholic beverages. And, again, just looking at the opportunity that I'm offering individuals at the highest platinum level, what if they put an investment, a one-time investment, and were able to achieve that 50% increase in whatever they were looking for, whatever they were looking for, a whopping 425% rate of return. You can't buy that. Vegas don't even give, returns of such magnitude. The lottery, it would if you were to be the one to be selected, the one who has the right numbers on the right day at the right time. Other than that, you're doing the wrong thing if you're talking about investing in yourself, changing your circumstances, and changing your mind. Once again, people, set your mind to what you want your reality to be. Use this phrase in almost every situation it applies. Almost in every situation, you can shut the naysayers up. You can change a negative conversation quickly. It's almost saying, peace, be still. Not to that magnitude, but again, just give you an example of how maybe you can shift the conversation, and we can just be optimistic people and hopeful that our situation can be changed, that we are in control of it, and we don't have to accept what has been put down on us. That statement, that phrase can be so powerful. And that's what we're here to do, encourage and empower others to see their vision, to see their lives, so that we can make it all to a great place and make this place a great place for our future and our generations to come. And so with that being said, Coach, I'm going to let you take it over, but I just want to tell off my people once again, those who are listening, set your mind to what you want your reality to be. Shift your mind to go to the various different quadrants, to the places that you want to be. You can't still be a boy and want to be called a man. You can't still act as an employee but, you know, believe or say that you're an entrepreneur. You can't stay in that same place because there's fundamental mind differences. There are things that you have to apply at each of those levels that the previous level can't get you. It won't take you. So think differently, act differently, and become the thing and the person and the people that you want to be. Coach, it's all yours. Hello? It seems like we're having technical difficulties, people. I'm not sure if we can even ask questions right now because we have to maintain the switchboard. I hope that, I've given each and every one of you some valuable or invaluable information that will, again, help change your landscape, help change your life, and shift you both emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, helping to take you, you know, and your vision and your family and your the things that you're involved in to the next level, to show you that by embracing a certain mindset, by involving yourself with certain things that will help to catapult you towards your dreams, that you too can have a phenomenally fantastic life. It's yours to have, and you're in control of it. And that's what I want more people to understand, that you're actually in control. There's no victims that I know of on this phone. There's only people who are victorious. And as I said before in the past, there are so many people who believe and understand that bad things happen to good people. And I agree with that. Bad things do happen to good people. But I better understand that good people overcome bad things. And I know that on this phone, on this air, on this line, in the archives that people are listening, that we have a vast amount of overcomers, people who have become triumphant, individuals who have did great things and will continuously do greater things. People, take control. This is your life. This is your world. I only envision the best for you because I only anticipate, imagine, or expect the best out of me. And I know you all can do it. So with that, once again, Coach Lalisa, take it away. It looks like we lost the coach. It looks like we lost the coach. Well, again, people, with that being said, I want you to have a phenomenal, fantastic week. Go out there and be fearless. This, again, is still fertile ground, great opportunities. Statistics have shown. I mean, the numbers from 2009 with these individuals, 558,000 new businesses created by former, current, and new entrepreneurs. What's your business? What do you do exceptionally well? Do you sew? Do you bake? Are you a web designer, webmaster? What is it that you do phenomenally well that can help other individuals and then including yourself? What would it take to make your dream come true? If you had no obstacles, no excuse, and had all the money in the world, what is it that you most would want to do? I can almost assure you that if you would just step out and do it, the resources will appear. The people necessary, the money, the environment will start to change. It's miraculous. It's miraculous. It's unbelievable. But it first starts in you. It first starts in you. And with that being said, people, again, have a great week. I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Take care. Be blessed. Bye now.
All right. That's it for today. We'll see you back here
tomorrow for another episode of the Coach Lalisa Show.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment.